He's Jim Browdy.
And she's Marjorie Egan.
And this is Boston Public Radio.
89.7 WGBH, WGBH HD1 Boston.
Online at WGBHnews.org.
Boston's local NPR.
Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. It is time for one of our favorite segments, our concert roundtable, which we aim to do about every 6 weeks. Here with us in Studio 3 is Rob Hochschild. He's Director of Communications for Berklee College of Music. Brian McCreath, host of 99.5 WCRB and a producer for the Boston Symphony Orchestra radio broadcast. And Edgar B. Hoyt III with WGBH's Curiosity Desk. Jim Browdy has a day off. Jared Bowen, who is WGBH's arts editor.
Nobody knows me here. Emily Rooney, after 16 years with her the other night. Emily called me the wrong name.
Okay, well,
I'm glad you're here.
Jared Bowen.
Jared, it's good to see you.
And he's here, and since he's here instead of Jim, I'm just going to explain to you briefly how it works. What you do, Jared, you just call on Bob, and he's going to start.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. You can call me Rob, too. That's fine.
Rob.
This is the other thing they love to do to me. They put me in the chair, and they don't tell me how anything works, so we figure it out on the air all together.
It's a reality
live
show
radio.
For you, Jared.
So now, Rob, so I ask you, what your first pick
Rob
is?
That
what
that sounds like a good plan.
Not yeah. Bob, Rob.
Seamless, guys. This
all
is
right.
Seamless.
We're doing yes. great. We're doing great. So Brad Meldow is in town tomorrow night. He's at the Berklee Performance Center, and he's a jazz pianist with classical roots. He's been leading bands since the early 90s. He's from Hartford. Now, this is a guy who was a very serious jazz musician from a very young age, also classical, and he's a mostly acoustic piano player. So he's played with a lot of the greats, Charlie Hayden, Pat Metheny, Lee Konitz. One thing that he's done that's been a nice addition to the jazz repertoire is he's brought in a lot of indie rock and pop music in and has taken it on in a really interesting way. Like he has a version of Paranoid Android, the Radiohead
nice.
Tune, that's
yes.
really beautiful.
Nice.
Alice in Chains, Hendrix. So he's really expanded the jazz repertoire. This new album is yet another really different turn for him. He's with an electronica drummer named Mark Giuliana. They have an album out that combines their names into the band name. It's Meliana, and it's called Taming the Dragon. And so he's not playing a lot of acoustic piano on this record. He's playing Fender Rhodes and synthesizer. So the Fender Rhodes, I don't know if everybody knows, that's an organ that came around in the 60s. Ray Manzarek of The Doors, yeah. Stevie Wonder, Billy Preston. It's
is that
a great
that Memphis sound? Is that kind of what
some guys
think?
In Memphis yeah. used it, players in Memphis. It's got a brighter sound. It's really nice. And so we're going to hear a little bit of it in a second. And why don't we take a little bit of a listen to this? This is a song called Lux from Brad Meldow.
I like that already.
So there's your Rhodes. In a second, the synth is going to come in, and I want to hear what you guys think that sounds like. Let's roll some more.
Like this offset groove is like
this
whoa,
right now.
Whoa,
I'm just like, whoa.
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow.
We are entering the future.
I yes. know, seriously, this, right.
This is like what the future sounded like in 1979.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
I
it's
feel like TJ Hooker is about to walk
in. It's got a prog rock thing
yeah,
going
absolutely.
On in my mind, like
yeah.
Genesis or ELP. So Brad Meldow just keeps showing us all his influences every time he comes out. He's just been nominated for a Grammy for this album. It's going to be a really interesting, varied night over at Berklee tomorrow night.
You know, we should point out, if people are in the car and they're worried about not getting the names and titles of all this and the information, it's all on our website at WGBHnews.org. You can check out Boston Public Radio and find all the information, so you don't have to be frantically trying to write things while you're driving down the Mass Turnpike. Okay, let's go move on to Brian McCreath, host of 99.5 WCRB and producer for the Boston Symphony Orchestra radio broadcast, where Jim and I went a couple of weeks ago and saw your little studio. And
I know. It was
cool.
great to have you.
Yeah, it was
visitors.
Fun. We
that
loved it.
Excellent.
We had a great night.
Well, Brian,
I
is
mean,
that the same studio where GBH got started? Is it the same space at the Boston Symphony Orchestra?
It's a like different space.
It's a different space
but
now.
But within that building, yes, indeed, that the
very
GBH
first
broadcast
yeah,
from
cool.
Symphony Hall. Indeed.
Yeah, we saw Andrus Nelson's. He was just reviewed in The New Yorker. I saw that a couple
yeah,
of weeks ago,
Yeah, that's right. That's
too.
A good article, too.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah but,
I thought they should have been more enthusiastic, frankly.
Who?
The New Yorker? Yeah,
oh, well, we'll talk about that, Marjorie.
Okay.
Here's the thing. After what Rob just played, there's no other phrase other than now for something completely different. I'm not sure that anything could be quite like that, so that's kind of cool. But this really is quite different now. And you know, there are many, many seasonal concerts. I mean, and speaking of the website, I listed a whole bunch of them that are going to be awesome, including Blue Heron and the Handel and Haydn Society's Bach Christmas and on all these things, the Holiday Pops, right? This is all going to be great. But I wanted to focus on Boston Camerata and what they call an American Christmas. And what's really cool about the American Christmas that Boston Camerata does is they're talking about like colonial era songs. And it is such a unique sound that let's just get a little of the sound in our ears first, and then we'll talk about like why does it sound this way. So let's hear a little bit of this song called The Midnight Cry with Boston Camerata. It's a simple tune. Mm. It's basically a folk song.
Yeah.
And you can imagine the sort of 18th century sort of plainness.
Yeah.
Think of the Shaker Village, Hancock Shaker Village, right? That's sort of like the physical manifestation of this way of listening.
Some men did it wait a while, home without a
So it's ensemble, but it's not that complicated German or French or Italian choral singing.
This is great.
It's incredibly simple, straightforward, and Camerata has a way of doing the style right, which is to not make it too pretty.
Right.
This is actually stuff that's kind of rough-hewn. This is just music that uneducated people really could just grapple with and sing together. And line up these, well, musically we call them open intervals, where you don't hear like rich texture, you just hear this very plain, stark sort of sound, you know? So it's a whole evening of this, and they intersperse it with readings, and there's instrumental music as well, and it's done as a real presentation of an American Christmas from the 18th and 19th centuries.
Where did they do this?
They're doing this in Lexington, in Newbury, and in Cambridge, December 18th, 19th, and 20th.
That's
and,
cool.
And Anna Zema leads this group. Boston Camerata is one of those earliest groups that really got into early music in the 1970s. They've been around for a long time, and so they just absolutely have this stuff cold. They know exactly what they're doing with it
culturally.
So this
time period's their wheelhouse.
It really is. And they do concerts throughout the year of medieval French music and English music and German music. But this is for this Christmas season, they're doing an American Christmas. So that's a really fun outing.
Beautiful. And now Edgar, right?
Edgar B. Hurley III for the Curiosity Desk.
Here we go. Well, you know, as Brian said, for the classical world, there's obviously all kinds of options for holiday stuff. But in the rock and roll world, there's also a handful of things happening. And I plucked one out, which I think is going to be a really cool show. So this is Nick Lowe. Do you guys know who Nick Lowe is?
No.
So Nick Lowe is basically like the other half of Elvis Costello, is sort of one way of thinking of it. Only he didn't really have the career trajectory that Elvis Costello did in terms of fame, but he wrote one of Elvis Costello's most famous songs, which is
Peace,
What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. He produced Elvis Costello's first couple of records, and he also kind of came of age in this pub rock scene in England and in the sort of late 1970s into the 1980s. So he's a great songwriter, and he's in sort of this mold of his wheelhouse is a little bit of the kind of rockabilly, late country, early rock and roll sort of American music, and he's doing this. He did a holiday record where he did some songs that he wrote and some traditional songs, and he's doing this holiday review tour with another band who are called Los Straitjackets. Now, these guys are sort of a surf rock, rockabilly band, instrumental, and they play in, like, Mexican wrestling masks.
Nice.
Gosh.
That's it.
So you have this kind of – you have this sort of elegant, gray-haired British man who's going to be backed by this band who are all in Mexican wrestling masks.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And they're going to be playing all this holiday music. So I want to play a little cut. This is one of the songs that Nick Lowe wrote for this holiday album. This is called Christmas at the Airport. You get a real sense of Nick Lowe's style in this, which is kind of power pop with a little bit of a country edge.
Outside the taxi window, on the way to catch my flight, I notice snowflakes playing in the ever-failing light. When he dropped me at departure,
It was really coming down.
This is great.
Deep and crisp and even.
Now just imagine this with the band all in Mexican wrestling masks.
Are they singing backup vocals,
they
those
are.
Guys?
They are. Man. And they're normally an instrumental, but they're an interesting band all by themselves. They put about 17 records out over the years. They formed in Nashville. They're great guitarists, and they put on a great show. Nick Lowe puts on a great show. I expect that this is going to be a really fun evening. So this is next week, December 16th at 7 o'clock at the Paradise Rock Club.
He strikes me as somebody who must have a huge cult following.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right on the money. He's you know, the people who know him love him.
Yeah.
Absolutely love him.
You know what really obsesses me every year?
What's that?
You hear about all these great concerts, and you're so behind in your Christmas shopping.
You can't
go to them. How are you going to be able to get to see them? Okay, Rob Hochschild, what do you got?
Okay, what we have, by the way, I do have a holiday show in this mix, but I'm going to save that for just a little bit
later.
Nice.
These are in the season.
Keep us in suspense.
Yeah, that's my plan. So what we got coming up is a young jazz pianist, vocalist, and composer from Australia by the name of Sarah McKenzie. So she's someone who already had an undergraduate degree, and then she came to Boston. She went to Berkeley. She had such a good career going that she won an ARIA Award, which is Australia's equivalent of a Grammy, during her first semester at Berkeley.
Wow.
So she didn't actually go back. She had like an ear training class or something she had to go to. She didn't get to accept that award. But
she had class that day, so she couldn't get her Grammy.
Exactly.
That's a committed student.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously. She is clearly committed. So she came in this artist diploma program that Berkeley has. It's designed for artists who have already had a really strong career established, so they can come back, take classes, and actually go out and do things that they need to do, like tours. She couldn't get to the award show, but she's been able to fit in some other stuff, such as recording a new record. So she's in her 20s. She's about to really burst in a big way. There's a lot of major label interest in her music right now. She just got back from the Monterey Jazz Festival, and she's playing next week up in Beverly at a really nice venue for music called Chianti Cafe. It's an Italian restaurant up there. They've got a lot of great musicians from the city going up there and playing. So this is next Wednesday, the 17th. Let's listen to a little bit of The Way You Look Tonight from Sarah McKenzie, and listen to the way she extends her vocal phrases and plays with time here. Check it out.
Darling, never ever change, baby, just to keep that breathless charm. Won't you please arrange it, for I love you just the way you look tonight.
You know, there's something about her inflections that are so intentional. She knows just what she's doing.
Yeah.
This isn't like a singer that kind of can't quite control it and kind of tries to be expressive. She knows just what she's doing with every part of the phrase.
She's a singer, but man, she's a musician in every sense of the word. She really knows what she's doing. That's so true. And so, you know, and this music just, it does feel like the holidays to me, even though that's not a holiday song.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a fun show to go to, hang out, have some food, and hear Sarah McKenzie. Yeah.
What year is she in at Berkeley?
She's done. She actually just finished in May.
So she graduated.
She's graduated. She's out in the world. And I think she's probably going to wind up moving to New York or L.A. pretty soon, because she's on the verge of some kind of deal, I think.
I was going to say, that's interesting that she's staying local. I mean, do you find more musicians are doing that? I mean, because this always has been such a music town.
Yeah, I think a lot of people find Boston is a great place to hang out for a few years after they've been here for a while and start to really launch and get bigger and make some big things happen. Some of them never leave. She's probably going to wind up someplace else at some point, but I think Boston's got a pretty thriving scene these days.
See her now.
Yeah.
Well, you have the chance,
time,
right?
Small
place.
Yeah,
that's right. But that's, you always hear these stories about people that saw, like, you know, Elvis Presley in some little club with three people back in 1950 or something like that.
Right. Makes
Tracy
for a great story.
Chapman performing the Red Line in
Square. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's a great one too.
Yeah.
Never happened to me. Anyway,
well, you were Christmas shopping.
I was Christmas shopping.
Not
that's
that you
right.
remember anyway.
Sending my car is right. Wait, listen to our concert roundup with Rob Hochschild from Berklee College of Music, Brian McCreath from 99.5 WCRB, and Edgar B. Hurt III from WGBH Curiosity Desk. We are now moving on to a little classical with Brian McCreath.
So these guys are not going to leave town, I can guarantee you.
Okay. No.
Because it's an orchestra. It's not even the Boston Symphony. They're not leaving town either, by the way.
Just the logistics of trying
logistics
to get out of town.
Really
almost impossible.
And yet, at the same time, a far cry is touring all over the country. Mm. And so that's kind of cool that a far cry is a chamber orchestra based in JP, of a lot of young musicians that came out of places like NEC and the Boston Conservatory, et cetera. But they're artists in residence at the Gardner Museum, so they do concerts there all the time. But they're going to do a concert at Jordan Hall that is they're just calling improvisation. And we don't think of improvisation with classical music too often. But they're going to feature Robert Levin, who is one of the world's experts in not just about who Mozart was, but playing Mozart, including the fact that, yes, Mozart improvised all the time. I mean, really? It was just an expected thing. This is what you did in Mozart's day. And that's what Robert Levin does. He improvises his cadenzas for Mozart piano concertos. So they're going to do that, which is already cool. But the part that really drew me to this concert is this piece by a composer named Frederick Shefsky. He's a modern composer who wrote a piece in 1968 called Les Moutons du Panurge, or The Sheep of Panurge, which references...
which references right. The Sheep of Panurge.
Exactly.
It references
the very famous, world-renowned Sheep of Panurge.
In this country, we always talk about lemmings following each other off a cliff. In France, apparently, as I understand it, Les Moutons du Panurge is what you say when people are just blindly following each other. There's a whole story behind it. But what Shefsky did was he took this tune and he made a puzzle out of it. And so here, the tune has 65 notes. Just follow along with me here, and then we'll listen to it. Tune has 65 notes. You play the first note. Then you play the first note and the second note. Then you play the first note, the second note, and third note. Then you play the first note, second note, third note, fourth note. And you add until you get to 65. Oh. Then you start playing the phrase, taking one note out. And you do this as an ensemble. So what I brought along was not a recording of a Far Cry, who are tremendous and are mostly string instruments. I brought along a wind version of this played by an ensemble called Eighth Blackbird because I just kind of love the sound of the piece itself, and it's kind of what a Far Cry will deliver. So here is Les Moutons du Panurge with Eighth Blackbird. You can kind of follow along, but it's not easy.
How clever is this?
It also gets wicked hard.
Yeah,
and there's
I
a certain
imagine.
Point. There's a certain point when, and Shefsky writes it this way, when it just falls to pieces. And yet it keeps going. It's like some players keep it going and other players are like, I don't know, I'm just going to play something else. And so it's just a really, really fun piece and it's going to fit in really well to this this concert.
Do they write the music? Each measure is, I mean, do they have regular music with this that they can follow
along?
Yeah,
I'm sure they do. I have not seen the music for this, so I don't quite know how it's notated, but
it would
be a big challenge to notate. So anyway, that's going to be really fun. Improvisation with A Far Cry. It's actually in January, so you've got time to finish your Christmas shopping.
Holidays.
That's right.
Nice.
I like
and
that.
Get everything wrapped
for Marjorie.
Up. And
I think
then come back.
More Christmas holiday concerts and parties should be after Christmas. That is my.
Not a bad idea.
That is revolutionary
that
thinking.
Is revolutionary.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, move everything back a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're doing ours after Christmas because Jim is not here today. It was supposed to be ours today. We've moved it to post Christmas, our little
box,
staff
man.
Party. I thought it was a brilliant idea. It was my idea, actually.
Out of the box. Well
okay,
done.
Edgar B. Hurwicke III.
So I'm gonna move to New Year's Eve. First night is a big thing here in Boston. There's always a ton of things to see. There's all kinds of music and performances happening around first night. But I want to talk about a band, one of my favorite bands of all time, which is a band called Yola Tango, a rock outfit from northern New Jersey. They've been around for many, many years. And in fact, I actually saw them on a New Year's Eve. 1998 going into 1999 in Philadelphia. And it was great. They were, when you came into the venue, the three members of this band were sitting there greeting everybody as they came in with a piece of cake and a 45 record, a single record, which they had cut just for that occasion and gave one to everybody who came into the show, which was really great. They're a really fun band. They're really great live and they're really great to see for something like a New Year's Eve because they have a lot of fun. They've done all kinds of neat things over their career. For Hanukkah every year, they do 8 nights at this place, Maxwell's in New York City, where they have a different special guest with them each of these eight nights. And they've been doing that for years. They do a fun thing on this radio station, WFMU in New York every year, where they do one night when they're in the studio and people can call in and request them to do a song. And they don't really know the song, just a cover of something. And they live on the radio try to work it out together and play it. And it's really fun. They put a record out a few years ago of highlights over the years of doing that show. So they're a really neat band. I'm going to play a cut to give you one sense of this band. The thing with these guys is they run the gamut. They do everything from really soft ballads to like lots of weird organ stuff to really heavy guitar stuff, pop, rock. rock, experimental, and everything in between. So here's a cut that gives you a sense of it, but you really can't with one song understand what Yola Tango is all about. They're really fun. This is a little bit more of their bigger, louder sound, which I suspect you'll get some of in a big show on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, New Year's Eve. It's a good New Year's Eve sound.
Great.
Yeah, and it's cool. They're just a three-piece. It's a bass player, a guitarist, and a drummer. And the guitarist's name's Ira Kaplan. He's married to the drummer, who's a female, named Georgia. So really cool story, really cool band.
How long
they're
have
fun
they been
to
around?
Watch.
Like 10 years?
20 years 20 at least.
20 years?
At least,
wow.
Yeah. And again, like Jared with Nick Lowe, these guys have a huge cult following. The people who love Yola Tango love Yola Tango.
It's great because it's sort of droney and dirgy, but really propulsive at the same time. It's just great.
It's kind of the music that I remember, you know, growing up the same time period where I would wind up after New Year's Eve waking up behind a dumpster in Billerica.
Jared.
What happened?
Tell
you
us
just
more,
opened
Jared.
Up a door. Can you cancel the rest of this segment and just hear about Jared's time behind a dumpster?
You know how music conjures certain images for you?
Yeah. I'm glad I could bring you back there, Jared.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
Okay. Rob Hochschild from Berkeley, go ahead.
Well, let's see what this one reminds Jared of. This is my holiday entry. This is the Kleswood's Klezmer Christmas at Atwood's Tavern in Cambridge.
Jared.
Now, this band actually formed because Atwood's needed a holiday band back in 2007. So this Klezmer outfit, and their name is Kleswood, so they actually took their name after the bar. They've been playing this show at Atwood's ever since. And they play a real mix of music. It's not really the Klezmer band that you heard at your niece's bat mitzvah or anything like that. They're breaking down a lot of walls. They do play like the Eastern European repertoire and Middle Eastern, but there's also like funk and jazz and reggae and all kinds of funky stuff mixed in with what they're doing. And they're on Tuesday the 16th at Atwood's, they're going to play some Hanukkah songs, they're going to play some Christmas songs. It's going to be, it should be something that won't sound at all like a war on Christmas or anything like that. It's all just going to be out there, I think. So, and the leader of this band is a guy named, now I've lost my place here, looking at my notes, Joe Kessler, a violinist. He plays this electric blue violin. And when he's on stage, he's moving around like crazy. He looks like he's going to knock over everybody on stage. And it sort of is this physical manifestation of what's happening in their music. So a lot of energy, a lot of different things going on. Let's listen to a little bit of a song called The New Path from the Kleswood's.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot, there's that... This, in a way, almost sounds more stereotypical of what you would expect from these guys. But there's other moments in their shows that just where the walls just come down and these instruments start sounding like other instruments. The guitar will sound like a bouzouki. There's the clarinet.
Yeah.
So this is going to be
like
a lot of fun.
Klezmer Christmas. Just that. Just those
yeah,
two
words. Yeah, totally. And like by the way, Atwood's is such a gem of a place to see music. There's always really good music in that place. And it's small enough that and big enough that you sort of... get a real good experience. I love that little cutout stage there. There's all that wood around. Every time I'm in there, I sort of feel like I'm in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Because there's so much wood, and there's wood behind the stage, and they always have really interesting acts like this.
And
you're just like, am I in a David Lynch movie right
there's
now?
A guy holding a log
totally.
Playing tunes
totally.
On it.
Totally.
Yeah, it is a great venue, and there's great food there, too.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
I love Atwood's.
Okay, Brian, you're up.
Yes, and indeed... We've heard mention of Brad Meldow already. You referenced Elvis Costello.
True.
And now, a singer who's worked with them both.
Wow.
A classical singer. Ann-Sofie von Otter is a Swedish soprano, who also, by the way, since we're name-dropping, has worked with the Boston Symphony.
Really?
And in fact, I talked to her when she was here for Mahler's Third Symphony. She was a soloist for Mahler's
Third
Symphony.
There's Mahler again. You have never gotten through a segment without mentioning Mahler.
I can't help
ever.
It. It's, there's
ever.
Something about it. I can't help it. So anyway, she's got a fascinating story where her father was a diplomat in Sweden during World War II, and there's a particular part of her background that has to do with his burden of having known about the Holocaust and having tried to tell people and not having any success telling them. basically. Oh. So that there's a bit of a there's a lot of weight to her background, but she's also a lovely, lovely singer, a lovely person. She is going to be presented by the Celebrity Series of Boston in January with another tremendous artist named Angela Hewitt, who plays piano. So piano and voice in a recital that the first half is going to be Beethoven, Schubert, Brahms. Those are names that often we think of being very heavy, but this is a Lieder recital. This is going to be very beautiful, very light, and so the lighter side of those particular composers. The second half is going to be French music, and I wanted especially to focus on music by Cécile Chaminade, a woman who was born in the late 19th century and just wrote unbelievably gorgeous songs. Let's listen to a little one of these that that is on the schedule for Anne-Sophie von Otter to sing. This is a piece that's called L'Anneau d'Argent, which means the silver ring. It's just a little love story. Here's Anne-Sophie von Otter. Now, what I would want to say about this is that if you can imagine being in a room with someone doing this, and Jordan Hall is clear is absolutely one of the best places in the world to hear this kind of music. Just as, I mean, we always go on about Symphony Hall and what an amazing place it is for an orchestra, but Jordan Hall is so intimate.
How big is it? How many seats?
Well, it seats quite a lot of people, like 1,000 people or something like that. But you don't feel that way in Jordan Hall.
Okay.
It's a curved shape to the auditorium, and the acoustics in there are so superb that something very intimate like this just speaks directly to you. And these songs that Anne-Sophie von Otter is going to sing with Angela Hewitt will be that kind of music that will just completely draw you in to this very, very intimate little world. And so I just highly recommend Anne-Sophie von Otter.
Is Jordan Hall a bargain in most cases?
A bargain?
Bargain. How much does it cost?
Oh, it just depends on the presenter.
Yeah.
It is a bargain when the New England Conservatory does concerts because they're free.
Yeah, that's what I thought, that you could get some free concerts.
You can. This is a Celebrity Series concert,
so
though.
So
there will be actual ticket prices for this. But I know that the Celebrity Series does all kinds of levels and ways
do,
that you can find tickets that make sense. So anyway, that will be a really stunning part of January's landscape.
Okay, we're wrapping it up. I think we're now with Edgar Hurwick the III.
So my last pick, this concert's not happening for a while. It doesn't happen until March 4th, but the tickets go on sale today, so I thought it would be good to mention to give people a heads up. This is a singer-songwriter, kind of roots guitarist who's a lover of Fats Domino, a lover of Little Richard. His name is J.D. McPherson. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm just going to play this cut. This is called Northside Gal. He's got an entire record that sounds like this. He's playing at the Sinclair, which is going to be a great place to see him. This is J.D. McPherson. This is one of those, like, I dare you not to move your body when you hear this. The entire record is like this, this repulsive, just rock beat, huh?
Yeah.
We're all bopping around in here.
Where's he from?
He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma, originally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is great.
And
great
it's just,
voice.
Just great voice. He's a great guitar player, too, just really steeped in that early rock and roll sound, and he nails it.
Yeah.
Hit me at his name. That's what a great name, Willie Watson. I love that name.
No. This is J.D. McPherson. I switched out of Willie Watson.
J.D. Sorry, J.D.
I should repeat again that all of this music that you just heard is on our website, so you don't have to worry if you're not able to write down what Jared and Rob and Brian said. It's all on WGBHnews.org website. I think we're heading out on this little moment, you guys. Thank you very much for being here with us, as always.
Yeah, we've been speaking with Brian McCreath, host with 99.5 WCRB. He also is a producer for the Boston Symphony Orchestra radio broadcast. Rob Hochschild is director of communications of Berklee College of Music. And Edgar B. Hurwick III, of course, runs the WGBH Curiosity Desk. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Jared.
And coming up, why even bother with a Christmas list when you've got Emily's list? That's next on 89.7 WGBH Boston Public Radio. We don't get tired.